Inviting me, and I'd like to talk a little bit about some medical aspects of safety, of keeping your parents and other elderly relatives safe at home. Last week, I know you had some discussion from Ms. Kava. From Ms. Kava Barron, and she talked about some environmental issues, and we're going to have a little bit more on that tonight, on the actual physical aspects of keeping people safe. I'm going to talk more about some medical issues relating to general health, which will be trying to keep your parents safe from a physical and a mental and psychosocial point of view. And many of the issues of keeping people safe, of course, relate to both the illnesses and the treatments and medications for their illnesses. We're dealing with the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em, which, of course, Rabbi Becker has been very involved with, and that starts off in the Aseres Hadibros in Parashas Yisro, which is coming up very shortly when we read it again on Shavuos. But in just this last week's parasha, Parashas Kedoshim, we also see the mitzvah of honoring the elderly in a different way. It says, Mipnei Seva Sakum, you have to, should stand up in the presence of an older person, of Adarta Pnei Zaken, and give deference or honor to somebody who's old, and also means Talmud Chacham. And then it says, V'yareisa melekecha ani Hashem, should fear God. That's the one of the reasons you do it, not just because of the fact that, of course, you have appreciation akaras hatov. And right before this, we have another mitzvah, which will relate to, the, among other things, to care of the elderly and to what my colleague will be talking about a little bit. Lo sekalel cheresh, in the same parasha, don't curse a deaf person. V'lifnei iver lo sitei michshol, don't put a stumbling block before a blind person, which of course doesn't just mean a physical stumbling block before someone who can't see physically, but somebody who may not understand what's going on. And again, you have to, again, do that because of your fear of Hashem. So it's a mitzvah from the Torah to actually not just care for your parents, but to remove dangers from them. And last week I heard Reb Pesach Kron actually quote this from the Shulchan Aruch, the specific halacha. And just as we heard from Ravelsky, sometimes there's a clash between Kibbud Av V'Em and what you can do and how much it's wearing the caregivers out, which of course is called caregiver burnout. But there's also a clash between our mitzvah of looking after our parents and some of the secular ethics of society where autonomy is put as number one rather than care or beneficence. And sometimes what we want to do actually clashes with the law of the land, and different organizations are involved in trying to sort that out. Let me talk a little bit about medications in general and safety issues. Most elderly people are on multiple medications, you all know that. At least half a dozen is the average. Very rarely do you find an older person is on just on one or two medications. And the problem is, the more the medications, the more statistical chance of having an adverse drug reaction. When I use the word drug, that's a medical term, it just means medicine, doesn't mean illegal drugs. So the more medications you're on, the more interactions the medications will have with each other, the more problems you'll have from each medication, and they also interact with other things such as food and time of day and sleep and all this sort of stuff. And many medications may cause a lot of side effects that could lead to very dangerous situations. Right? So I'm going to discuss briefly some of the common adverse or side effects that may lead to dangerous situations, which I'm sure all of you have been associated with or know about. First of all, many medications can cause dizziness or balance problems, which could, of course, lead to falls and injury. And some medications can cause changes in blood pressure when somebody stands up, gets up from sitting or lying for a long time, especially in the morning, and that can also cause falls and injuries. And we know that of healthy elderly people living at home, relatively healthy, 1/3 on average will have a fall per year. Only about 10% of falls lead to severe injuries, but 1/3 will have some fall. Many of the times they won't tell you. Some of the medications which can lead to dizziness and balance problems include medicines against epilepsy or seizures, many psychiatric medications, including antidepressants, blood pressure medications, and, of course, don't forget, pain medications, especially strong pain medications we call narcotics, even including codeine. So these medications can cause falls and injury. Other things that medications cause include diarrhea and vomiting. And sometimes these can lead to dehydration and weakness, and therefore more falls, and many medications do that. Some medications reduce people's appetite, which can also lead to weakness and falls. And some of these medications include some of the very common cardiac heart medications, pain medications, and blood pressure medications. Some medications, if not monitored well, can cause changes in blood chemistry, including a change in potassium and blood sugar. And this can, of course, also lead to weakness and falls. And some of the common medications are cardiac medications, obviously diabetes medications. People can get low blood sugar, hypoglycemia, and collapse and injure themselves and may not be able to call for help. And some of the blood pressure medications. And now we've discovered that some of the newer psychiatric medications can actually also mess up blood glucose control for diabetics. Confusion is common in elderly people, but is a very common side effect of medications. And people on such medications could do things that are dangerous. They could get lost wandering. They could cross dangerous roads. They could drive when they're not supposed to drive. They could leave the gas on the stove on and cause fires. Or they could mix up their doses of medications, so they're taking the wrong medications or the wrong doses or the wrong times, the wrong mixtures, which could lead to further medical problems, further confusion. And as I mentioned, almost every medication in the elderly could lead to confusion. Another thing medications can do, and some problems of elderly, is incontinence. Incontinence can be very dangerous, not just socially upsetting, but if the floor is wet, if the slippers are wet, that can lead to falls. Approximately half of all falls occur when people are getting up to go to the bathroom. So it's very important, and some medications can cause incontinence, such as certain blood pressure and water pills. And as far as fecal incontinence, people who overdose on laxatives because they think they're constipated, and many elderly do feel that way, can cause fecal incontinence, and that can also be very dangerous, as well as a health hazard. The other problem of taking medications is what we call non-compliance, not taking medications correctly. And this can be due to many things. First of all, anybody who has a side effect of medication doesn't want to take it. And they may tell you they're taking it when they're not. Cognitive problems, confusion, can lead to people not taking their medications correctly. And sometimes older people are just basically actions, and they won't take their medications, no matter what you tell. If the medications are not taken correctly, some medications are, of course, there to offset side effects of other medications or to help other medications. So if you get an imbalance, and when you get an imbalance, you may get certain toxic effects, or if you're not taking the medication against a certain condition, a certain illness, then the effect of the illness will come back, and the disease will show itself, and that's another problem that could cause more problems of weakness or confusion or whatever that could cause a person to be unsafe by themselves. So as it is to reiterate, falls are related to medications. It's been shown that the number of medications is directly related, proportional to the number of falls, and falls, of course, increase with age. Right? In any case, many elderly have other conditions which will cause them to have a predisposition to falls and dangers. And these are all the conditions that cause gait or mobility problems, such as arthritis, balance problems due to various neurological diseases, such as strokes, Parkinson's, neuropathies, previous injuries. People have had a fractured hip from a fall, are twice as likely to have another fracture or another fall. Foot problems, vision problems, which will be discussed a little bit more in detail later. People with vision problems fall more. People who have poor lighting in the house fall more. So that's been shown very, very well. So it's very important to have that. As one gets older, general body weakness also causes more problems with falls or not being able to handle themselves. Confusion and dementia are associated with falls. So if you think, oh, my mum or my father are still very strong physically, they're just demented, they actually have a much higher risk of falls. Diabetes has a high risk of falls for many reasons, including the fact that many diabetes have what's called peripheral neuropathy. They do not have the sensation in the feet as well, so they can't really feel exactly where their feet are when they're walking, and they have difficulty with vision as well as many other problems, and of course problems of having low blood sugar, which can cause people to collapse and faint. Cardiac and vascular problems, same thing. People who have peripheral vascular disease, problems with blood flow to the legs, where they get pain or ulcers. Some never end up having amputations. They have problems with falls. People have poor blood flow to the brain, which might lead to strokes or to what's called mini strokes, may have a lot of falls. So these are just a few of the problems which increase with age and for which we really need to look at to keep people safe. So how do we monitor our elderly family for safety with regard to their medications? I'm not going to go through the problems of environmental concerns because that's being done by the therapists who are experts in this. The first thing you've got to know is you really should know their medications, right? We have a responsibility to know what our parents are on, even if other people say let them be independent. So you should really have a list of the medications. You should have a list in their home. They should always have it there so that if Chalila Hatzalah comes or anybody else or they need to talk to somebody, a medical professional, they'll have a list. They should have it on them. I used to always advise people to keep a little card in the wallet or in the handbag and write down directly from the bottle exactly what the medicine is with the generic name and the brand name and the dose and how often they take it. And you should have one available for you in case you get called from another hospital or doctor where your parent has been taken. Don't forget that besides the medicines that were prescribed by their multiple doctors, they may be taking over-the-counter medicines prescribed by the next-door neighbour. They may be taking herbal medications prescribed by the local nutrition store, and they may be taking a lot of different vitamins. Many of these interact with each other, right? And for example, ginkgo, which was very popular, people took ginkgo to help blood supply to their brain, and who also took aspirin used to bleed a lot. So you've got to know these things. You can check up these and get information. It's available from pharmacies, it's available from the government. There's a whole lot of posters from the Food and Drug Administration. Right? And they have a system called SAFER. All right, I've just got a few pamphlets here. And SAFER stands for Speak Up. Right? When you have a relative who needs who's on medications, say you want to be involved. Ask questions, find out about the medications. Find the facts about them, evaluate the benefits and risks, and read the label. That's SAFER. Speak up, ask questions, find the facts, evaluate the benefits and read the label. You should always ask about possible adverse effects because sometimes you don't know whether a problem is due to a disease or due to a medication. So you really need to know these. You really can get all of this information if you want. You could ask about it, ask your pharmacist, but you really need to to know about these things and have it. What's very dangerous is when people are on multiple medications from different doctors and each doctor doesn't know that the patient went to another doctor, and sometimes older people don't want to tell. You know, they don't want to say what they're on from somebody else. They don't want to embarrass the doctor that they went for another opinion to somebody else, you know, so they won't tell them, and then they'll get twice this medication in two different names with the same drug, right? And they'll get twice the toxic effects, right? Or sometimes they want to test the doctor. You're the doctor. You should tell me, right? You should know. And, of course, most doctors can't know everything because we're only doctors. When you're looking at medications, you should actually be proactive in ensuring they're taken correctly. How do you do that? Well, a few simple ways. If the person is very alert, that's fine. But when people are not so alert or not so responsible for making sure they take their medications, it can be done in a large family, could have a schedule, a roster for this. Call to check. Simple telephone call. Check. Did you take your tablets this morning? You call at that time. If not, I'm going to wait on the line while you go and take the medicines. Make sure they take them, right? And persuade them to take them. No, not now. I like to take it after I've had breakfast. I like to go to the bathroom first. No, I only take it when I'm dressed. You have to try to be flexible, but try to make sure they take the medications. You can use all sorts of different gadgets, those set boxes, you know, which have, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the different times. And you could... That's very important, especially for visiting nurses or whatever, because then they can at least see which medicines were taken and which days, if any, were missed. There are even automatic electronic ones now. There are these, Rabbi Belsky was talking about these pendants and things. Well, there are ones where the telephone box, which is the base phone for the company to call through, actually has a drawer with medications, and it's timed and it opens up time. But they're very expensive and most of you don't need them. But there are ways of doing this. Of course, you'd always remember to keep any dangerous medications secure. They're on some medications, such as narcotics, drugs that are for pain, and if they take too many, they can be very sick. You should actually make sure they're secure, because otherwise what's going to happen is they're going to take one, it's not going to help in 3 minutes, and take a second one. Then when they both act together in an hour's time, the person becomes unconscious. And you should be able to check up when refills are due. So that's one of the ways of monitoring the medications, by being a partner in the medications. You should also know what their medical history is. Again, this is maybe a clash with secular ethics, but most parents will eventually tell their children. Sometimes they won't immediately, but if they let you know what's going on with them, and if they let you perhaps go to them to the doctor, it's always better that way. Because if two people hear what the doctor has said, at least some of it will be remembered. But if the patient hears is the only one listening to what the doctor has said. Usually they have selective hearing, and they only want to hear what they want to hear. And they won't hear all the other information. So you should really know the medical history, and perhaps ask your doctor to give you a copy of the medical history. And the same thing now, which a lot of home care doctors are insisting on, as well as the notes that home care agencies write, is a brief one-page summary or something of the disorders, the conditions the person has in their home. So if Hatzolah or anybody comes to them, they can take that piece of paper with them. They'll know what the patient has, what conditions, as well as the list of medications. The emergency room will know it when they get it. They'll know all the numbers and be able to do that. In the patient's home, and in your home, you should have a copy, you should really have a list just like a babysitter has, right? You had a list with the babysitter which said the parents' names, their numbers, their cell phone numbers, home number, work number, all right? The doctor, you should have all of that there. You should even have perhaps something like the health insurance, whether they have. And then for a person who is a little older, maybe get a bit confused if they get sick, even if they're relatively well mentally, you should have something listed like, I live at such and such a street, on such and such an address, nearest crossroads are, so when if they end up calling Hatzalah, they can actually express it by reading it directly, and that should be near the phone. So that's very easy, because otherwise people will forget their address, they'll forget their telephone number, not necessarily because they're demented, just because they're anxious or excited or sick. So you could have a list like that near the phone and on the fridge, which is basically a list for emergencies. You should know their healthcare providers. You should have a list of all their doctors, and you know where their addresses are and what their telephone numbers are and how to contact them. It's very important. And you should check up on them frequently. How do you check up on them frequently? Without being a nudge, right? Because, of course, we all know that our parents think that they can look after themselves and we shouldn't need to look after them. After all, they brought us up. And, of course, there's the old Yiddish proverb, you know, one parent can bring ten children, but 10 children can't look after one parent. So I like to look at this as 7 Fs. Could ask about when you call them, how they feel physically, how they feel mentally, including are they depressed or sad, as Rabbi Belsky was mentioning. Do they have pain? Should ask them if they've had any falls. Older people will never admit they had a fall because that's they're worried they're not getting too frail and you're going to send them into a nursing home, because falls is one of the greatest reasons for people going into nursing homes. But you need to ask them. They may not have hurt themselves, because if they've had a fall, you can start going through all of the other fall prevention methods, which are both from the medical point of view, having medical investigations and checking their medications, and from the occupational therapy and physical therapy point of view, and which we'll hear a bit more a bit later. Should ask them if they've had food. Are they eating? Because they may not be eating for one day, which is okay, but maybe not for 2 days. Or they didn't drink when it's a hot day and they didn't realize it was a hot day. Should ask them about if they've had a fever, and if they are people who take their own blood pressure or have a nurse come to take the blood pressure, what the blood pressure was and what the blood sugar was. Could ask them about fatigue. Are they sleeping? Are they tired? Should ask them if they've, as Rabbi Belsky mentioned, if they've seen or talked with friends. And should ask them if they're up to date with their frequency of appointments with their healthcare providers. So these are some of the things from the medical point of view that you can look at as far as keeping people safe at home. And of course, make sure they don't do anything that's dangerous. And there are lots of things that can be done in the home that to make things safe, special switches, all sorts of timing devices, all sorts of things to make sure they won't burn the house down or they won't leave the door open or fall down. And of course, all automatically, of course, all sorts of dangerous hazards should be removed. Of course, if the parent still drives, should make sure they're safe for driving. And there are special ways of testing for driving for older people. Many older people drive perfectly okay, not a problem. But if they really can't, you may have to do some things to try to stop them from driving. And the last thing, of course, is that you really should arrange that they give what's called a healthcare proxy. They make a healthcare proxy, which is a form to make a person who is a healthcare agent, the person who would be able to make decisions, healthcare decisions for them, medical decisions for them, if chalila they are unable to do it, even temporarily. And there are different halachic living wills available that you can get from different organizations, and these should be discussed both with your doctor and your rabbi and the family. That's all. I was asked to speak very briefly, so I just wanted to give you a few ideas about keeping people safe at home.
Without any further ado, I'm